This week on CrossFit Insiders Podcast, we talk about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. How can you apply everything that you learn in your day-to-day life to be a better friend, family member, and athlete? And we're back! CFIOs! Eighth episode. Podcast. Man, this was just a dream of mine about 2 months ago. So we are missing Alyssa again.
She's out of town.
On vacation, kind of.
Kind of.
Visiting Rob's brother, right?
Yeah, Rob's little brother graduated from boot camp. Was it boot camp?
Yep.
I can't remember which exactly one, but yeah. So congratulations to him. Thank you for your service.
He emerged successfully from his boot camp. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's, I love that word, emerge. That's cool. So we got Brandon, Brian, myself. So we put out the other, yesterday, right?
Well, we're recording this on Thursday. You're listening to this probably on Monday. Yeah. But yeah, we put out on Facebook, the book face. But on the book face for some suggestions to what to talk about.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of good responses. Definitely want to start researching a little bit more to get some... bless you.
Oh, bless me.
Start researching a little bit more about, you know, all those topics and hopefully touch on some of those over the next several weeks.
Yeah, they were great topics.
Absolutely.
And I think the goal here is, right now we're doing it every week, a podcast every week.
Until we get sponsors.
Yeah. Podcast every week until the open is over. And then we haven't really committed past that, but
I'm committed.
I think we're going to at least try to do it twice a month, if not every week. We'll see how it goes. But I think one of the cool things we're really planning to do is bring in special guest. I love that idea.
Absolutely.
Of some of our members as well as some local business owners or just people here that have a specific niche that we feel like would help you guys and help them. So make sure to subscribe to this podcast and share it. You don't know how much that helps. When you share it, it gets it out there. I know Brian said he was listening to Barbell Shrug podcast and ours showed up, right?
Mm, that is correct.
Yeah, so that's pretty legit. We're the only one in Wilmington, I think. Well, I know fitness-wise, really, that's doing it.
I'm not 100% sure, but I don't know. I don't know what other podcast.
Until we know for sure.
Plausible deniability.
Yep. So, I like being number one.
I like smacking the beat down. I'm not sure what that means, but I like that.
No, but obviously we all glean from each other, but this is something I think has been super fun. So,
well, I don't know if we'll probably edit this out. I'm not sure, but we talk a lot about when we are setting goals and all that about setting the why. I mean, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? When you had the idea of doing a podcast, you know, why?
For me?
Yeah, what is your why in doing this?
Well, I don't know if anybody's ever seen me write.
I have.
In red. when I shoot Brandon a text.
As your personal editor,
at
yeah.
At midnight going, dude, I don't know if a comma goes here or not. Or, you know, no. It's just another way to get content out, to connect, number one, with our leaders, I mean, our clients, because... I know a lot of, there's several that listen to it for sure. So a good way to kind of connect and let them see our personality together, kind of talking, but you know, getting content out there to our clients as well as like to other people that we've not reached yet. It's just a great way. Eventually, as we bring people in, being able to showcase what they're doing and see how we co-brand together and how we merge and how. We can help each other, you know. My mentor tells me all the time, help first. So
I think
this is a way to help first before we ever really receive anything. So as we grow in this, my goal is for us to, for my coaches, for you guys, to be able to share your expertise, get content out, and help people, you know. Hopefully people can glean from some of what we talk about around all the joking and stuff, but and grow as an athlete, as a better person.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I love about podcasts is you can literally be doing anything you want to do and listen for the most part. You know, mowing the yard. My wife likes to mow the yard and not listen to anything and just hear the noise.
How do you get your
she
wife?
She mows the yard.
How do you get your wife to mow the yard?
I guess her favorite thing to do. What you do is you have four kids and then you say we're going to homeschool. I don't dictate that, but we say, hey, we're homeschooling. And then they're all around her all day long and she's like, God, I got to get out of here or I'm going to bring the lawnmower inside. So she was pregnant. We lived on a busy street in Charlotte.
Hold on. So you made your pregnant?
No. I never made.
You were like.
She chose. Yeah. So we were on this busy road in, is it actually Mint Hill? She's like 7-8 months pregnant. Was it 9 months?
Yeah.
She's pregnant, like big belly. We don't have a riding lawnmower, pushing lawnmower. So she's mowing at the street. I just got done playing baseball with the other, she was pregnant with Samuel, so with Noah and Braden. We were throwing the ball. And I took a break, just sat down on the porch, on the front porch, and these construction guys in a white van rode by and yelled things that I would never let come out of my mouth at me.
For sitting on the porch.
For sitting on the porch while my wife was mowing the yard, so... but anyway, I don't know how that. But you can listen to a podcast while you're doing that. Cleaning the gym, I do it. We're listening to Extreme Ownership by the Seals.
Yeah.
That's not a podcast. That's a book. But while we're driving and riding, so he would love listening to the war stories. You know,
dude, I listened to a sample of. Trying to debate, well, you know, whether to buy the audiobook or I went and listened to a sample yesterday, which just sucked in to it.
When you hear the guy
explaining it.
What's the
Jocko?
Jocko?
Yeah, shout out to Jocko.
Dude, he makes me feel like he's probably got a huge beard and just
no, he's
massive
not.
Arms.
He's massive, but he's bald head, clean shave.
Okay, well, he needs to grow a beard. That voice is just soothing. But anyway, so yeah, that's what I love. I think that's what I love about podcasts and audiobooks is you can be doing something while you're listening and learning.
10 minutes later. So what are we talking about today?
Yeah. So our topic today is
wisdom.
Wisdom versus knowledge. Right.
Yeah.
Wisdom versus knowledge. What is the difference?
Is there?
We probably all three have something a little different. But it probably all would intertwine together, so maybe we go around.
So wisdom, if coming from an educator, wisdom and knowledge, from an educator's point of view, wisdom would be, and knowledge would be. Let's see, knowledge is knowing something, that if you have the knowledge of doing something, I think wisdom would be taking that knowledge and putting it into action. So knowledge, I've got knowledge on how to walk, how to jump, but do I walk and jump properly? So using that knowledge to apply whatever that knowledge of is into apply it properly. I think that would be my definition, wisdom knowledge. What do you got?
No, dude, straight up. I mean, that's, knowledge is knowing something, but wisdom is absolutely, you know, how do you apply that knowledge? You know, wisdom is applied knowledge. And I think we were talking about this as we were preparing for the podcast. You know, I can know that it's wrong to steal, but it takes wisdom to actually apply that and say, hey, don't steal, or, you know, there'll be consequences, you know, surrounding that. And in the fitness world, we talk all the time about, you know, let's just say the deadlift, for example. When we're teaching the deadlift, we're teaching someone how to safely pick up 300-400 pounds in a deadlift, you know. Or what?
Or 100, my PR.
Your current wonder of max 100 pounds. I mean, we teach people how to deadlift properly to pick up this heavy weight. And that's great knowledge to have in the gym, how to do a lift correctly. But wisdom is actually going home and picking your kids up the right way. Yeah. Or, you know, even picking up the newspaper from the front yard, you know, whether that's half a pound or 20 pounds and actually picking it up and loading the hamstrings correctly without throwing out your back. So, I mean, in the fitness world, you know, that's how we apply wisdom, I would say.
That's a great way to point that out is you're here, you're getting knowledge, right?
Yeah.
And you apply it maybe while somebody's watching you or you're focused on applying it, which would be wisdom, but then when you go outside of here,
yeah,
most injuries happen outside of the gym.
Absolutely.
I'm talking to people all the time that have done stuff outside, but so some of them are just happen, right? They're just, you know, if you're living life, you're going to get injured, something's going to happen. But applying that knowledge that you've gained here, you know, on how to pick up your case of water, how to bend down and clean the floor, whatever that is, that's a great way to apply that.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say that knowledge is absolutely useless without wisdom. You know, it's great to have all this theoretical, you know, knowledge, but if you're not applying it, if you're not actually using it, then it's absolutely useless.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think obviously with the definitions, it's like applying knowledge, right? So wisdom is rightly applying knowledge. So how
can we apply that in the gym
or outside the gym?
Yeah, outside the gym and inside the gym. I mean, I think most people here are obviously listening because they have fitness goals, you know, aesthetic goals,
sure,
nutrition goals, lifestyle goals.
Yeah. I mean, I was texting, you know, with a family member the other night and or last night, as a matter of fact, and they said that, you know, they're way past their, you know, they're essentially fed up with their health and weight and wanting to do something about it. You know, my response was, well, the hardest part's getting started. And really it is, you know, we have quick starts, right? But the hardest part is actually getting started because you get fed with a, I don't know, what's the, like a fire hydrant. It's like you're getting fed with a water hydrant or a fire hydrant of information first. And you're researching all these different diets and fitness plans. And, you know, you can't go to the grocery store without walking past a magazine rack and being, you know, bombarded with, you know, how to get 6-pack abs or, you know.
In 28 days.
So you can read all that. Now you have knowledge.
So you have all this knowledge, but you're not actually doing anything about it, right? So the hardest part is actually, you know, getting all that knowledge and transferring it into application. You know, and this is, you know, it's so cool because this is a topic that is so universal and I don't think we'll ever arrive. With CrossFit, and we talk about this in a previous podcast, it's almost like we've turned people away from joining the gym because they weren't interested in learning new things. And with CrossFit, I mean, we are constantly learning brand new things. We're learning new skills. Then the hard part comes in actually, you know, application and applying those. Mm. You know, it's great that you know how to do a muscle up. How do you apply that in your fitness regimen? How do you apply that in your day-to-day life without just being without just being knowledge?
Well, and then good knowledge and rightly applying that knowledge.
Sure.
I think when you talk about walking by the magazine rack,
yeah.
I mean, you know, those guys are spending tons of money researching what people want to hear.
Right, yeah.
And selling magazines.
They're selling magazines. So I think part of, you know, me going through what we're getting ready to hook in with the dietitian, just listening to her proper knowledge and wisdom on, let's say, your part of running a nutrition program would be going, what is fact and what is fictional?
Yeah.
You know, she talks about that and taking the facts and then developing wisdom, right, or helping people properly apply the facts, which we would call real knowledge.
Right.
I was just Googling, do you guys know when the internet was created, kind of like when it got really popular?
I was there.
Al Gore was, well, Al Gore invented it, right? No, not getting that reference, whatever.
I have gotten that reference. Okay. In fact, I heard that today, actually, which is pretty funny. That's the second time I heard that today.
So Tim invented the World Wide Web.
Who?
Tim Blevins? That's amazing.
Tim Blevins. Tim. Another shout out, Callie. Tim Lee? Tim Berners-Lee or something? I'm reading this.
Obviously. Okay, go ahead.
1990 is when it got popular. But you take that, and now we are overloaded with knowledge. I mean, you can Google anything and find 100 different ways to skin the cat. You know what I'm saying? No. To get what you're looking for. Now, the problem is working through what's facts and fictional and what's real, what's not, what works, what doesn't. But the big issue is actually applying what you learned. And I think that's what we're kind of talking about today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if it's wrong, people still don't apply it. Yeah. Wrong or right. They get the knowledge and then they don't, we don't know. And I say people, me, myself, oftentimes I don't put it to action.
So here's a gym reference for wisdom and knowledge. We all know we've got to breathe. We all know we have to breathe during a workout. So we all have that knowledge. But do we have the wisdom to apply that breathing at the proper place in order to help us be more successful in the workout? We've been talking a lot about breathing lately in the workouts. I know I have. I know Brandon has. I've seen him. He's been in my classes teaching. He's heard me say it. I've heard him say it. Same with Alyssa. Another reference, we have knowledge of it's good to go into a workout with a plan, but do we have the wisdom to carry out? We had a drop in yesterday, and he was here real early, and I said to him, I said, hey, make sure you have a plan for this workout. And he jokingly said, which I think is what we often, all of us do, he jokingly said, yeah, I just go all out and I just kind of go into it and see what happens. Do you guys think that the best athletes in the world don't have a plan? Tonight, when that workout is announced, you know Frazier's going to have a plan before that workout. He's got 10 minutes to make it. Meanwhile, we've got almost 24 hours to make that plan after tonight. And we have the knowledge to do it, to make a plan before we go into the workout, but do we have the wisdom to apply it? Okay. You know, this has kind of been my thing for the last couple of podcasts, having a plan. But boy, that's a real life example of wisdom and knowledge, having a plan.
Well, and just to point out, I mean, with the CrossFit Games coming up in the summer, right, and they have no idea, you know, some of the workouts are announced right there on the spot, you know, and having plans in a given workout's fine. But it also, when you're looking at the rookies at the CrossFit Games and the veterans, which I guess now with the Masters Joy Division, you're going to see a little bit of a shakeup there. But it's really interesting to watch those like Annie Thor's daughter and Ben Smith, who are veterans at the CrossFit Games, who have done this before, know how to pace that weekend out, that really grueling weekend. And it's really interesting to watch them versus some of the rookies who are going to go there and have, you know, they know CrossFit. They've been doing CrossFit for a while or else they wouldn't be there. But the idea of pacing that entire weekend, you know, or a weekend-long competition, whatever it is. And so it's very interesting to watch. Those who've been doing CrossFit for a long time or any sport for a long time, they know how to pace things out, you know, and apply the knowledge of this. Every workout's not 100%. And yeah, I'm going to give him 100%, but maybe I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I know how to place in the rankings and all that. I mean, that's a different story, but.
Yeah. Well, and then they have not only them, but they have an actual coach, which blows me away when I see people, even locally here, who are like, yeah, we have this certain gym or we're offering this because at some point we feel like you don't need a coach. And I'm like,
The best athletes
in the world have a coach.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and why do they have a coach? They can get all the knowledge they need, but a lot of times you need that outside voice showing you what wisdom is. You know, hey, here's wisdom, follow this. You look back on the last 17.2, the announcement, and the girl, I can't remember her name, she's the RP athlete, Thule, the girl that won.
Oh, Claire,
Toomey.
Tia Claire Toomey. Yeah.
She said, I had a plan, but I walked over, it was either her coach or whatever, and said, this is what I'm thinking, and he or she gave her some pointers. Yeah. And it was the wisdom that she needed. And so for me, it's like, you know, Chris Cooper tells me, you know, he writes all the time. He's like, would you ever send your 6-year-old or 7-year-old to an uncoached soccer, like, whatever you call it, team, in the sense of, hey, there's no coach, you just go. Sure, they can, they know how the knowledge, how to kick the ball, or they could, their parents could Google enough information, but having someone to help you rightly apply that knowledge and walk through, I think, is so crucial. So when you're talking about a plan,
yeah,
and it going into a workout, when the coach says, hey, at 3, 2, 1, go, I say this, I've been saying this kind of often when I do coach, but, and you, I hear you guys saying all the time, you're given the why of the workout. Why are we doing this workout? What is this workout going to do to us? Sometimes you guys have already tested it out. What is this workout going to do? What's it going to feel like? Here's what we're looking for to happen in this workout. Create a plan and stick with it with that in mind. And I tell people all the time, just because we go 3, 2, 1, go doesn't mean we just take our brains out and throw them to the side and go, hey, I'm just going as hard as possible. You know, that's not rightly applying wisdom.
Yeah.
And bringing it back to Brian talking about breathing. We talked about this yesterday jokingly. Brian's super big about shut the back door or whatever it is.
Car door.
Shut the car door and breathe. And he over-exaggerates when he's teaching that.
Yeah.
Not because he likes over-exaggerating, but because he's teaching that and driving that point home, because he knows that that's going to be your due north, and that's going to help you apply rightly.
Absolutely.
Right? And I feel like a lot of times we get in there, I do it myself, it's like it's easy to throw it out the window and just go, I just want to get done with the workout and just get the best time, when we fail to apply what would benefit us a year from now.
Absolutely. Yes, I mean, and this is what, and we have coaches, right? Every single one of us in here glean from the other, you know. If I go into a group setting workout, I'm going to glean just as much as my, you know, my colleague and my peer, as my coach than I am, you know, as everybody else in the room is, you know, that he is, you know, he or she, if it's Alyssa, is the authority in the room and, you know, has the game plan, regardless of, you know, where you know, peer wise. Let's take yesterday, for example. We had the workout that was a 12-minute AMRAP. It had one rope climb, 10 wall ball shots, 10 power snatches. I went into it.
Light.
It was, yeah, 75 pounds, which is, you know, decently light in a CrossFit setting, especially for that small of an AMRAP. But 10 power snatches from the floor. And the very first round, I tried to Randy it. You know, the 75 power snatches for time, where you just kind of, you know, the guy, I don't know if you watched the regionals, where they were just hit the ground, come up, hit the ground, come up, without worrying about bar path or anything like that. The very first 6 reps, man, they were ugly. And I had to step back, because I knew Brian was watching me, and I knew there were other people watching me. I said, hold on, step back, let's get a good bar path and actually do it correctly. Man, the workout felt so much smoother. You know, and Coach Brian even came up to me after, man, I saw that bar path. I was like, I'm glad you didn't watch the first 6 reps. Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, it was, you know, it was so much smoother. I just felt better in the workout. So there are even times where we have to, you know, as coaches, we step back and say, okay, mm-hmm. let's analyze the workout. What's going to be the best, you know, in the long run? Now, had I continued the entire 12 minutes just with a, you know, crappy looking power snatch, I probably would be, you know, lower back pain today, not ready for 17.3. And the dude next to me would have looked and said, oh, well, if Brandon power snatches like that, then I can power snatch mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, knowing that, you know, having the wisdom of actually applying, I know how to power snatch. I've been doing this for 5 freaking years. I can do this correctly under pressure, and actually applying that in a workout. So, definitely having the wisdom to do that. And that's not to say that we're not going to mess up every now and then. And, you know, plan goes out the window. When pressure gets high, you know, and it's a high stakes workout like the Open or whatever. And, you've got 10 seconds left and you're trying, that's not to say that, you know, you won't crack under pressure sometimes, but the reality is having the wisdom that, hey, even if there's only 10 seconds left in the workout, continue to do it with good form, continue to do it properly, and applying that right knowledge that you already know.
Yeah. And I think we all would agree, if you train the way you want to compete, if you're talking about competing, so
sure.
If the Open's coming around and I train sloppy and I don't train my breathing, I don't train my bar path, then when the Open comes, that's the way. Take Rich Froning, Ben Smith. Those two are my favorite. By far, I love Sam Briggs, but she's got some of the ugliest form sometimes.
She's a monster. She's
but she's a monster.
Yeah.
But you take, well, I shouldn't say she has no use for it, but there are definitely things I see that I'm like, wow. But I look at Rich Froning or Ben Smith, and I watch those guys do thrusters, snatches, whatever you're watching. It blows me away. It's like watching an artist.
Yeah.
And that's the way they train.
Right.
So training is where, you know, in the gym, we could maybe do this analogy. In the gym, on any given day, is your training ground. It's your basic training. It's your boot camp. It's your, you know, it's not necessarily the war.
Right.
Right? It's not the big task. It's training properly, like you said, you nailed it on the head, so that when we're outside of here or when the open's here or when it really matters, we've trained and we've worked the plan.
Yeah.
So how do we sell that to our athletes, including ourselves, who are never going to be games athletes? None of us are ever going to regionals. How do we sell proper breathing, applying wisdom, applying knowledge to a Tuesday afternoon workout when I'm just here to work out? And
yeah.
You know, I think that's a key piece to what we do. We make people better inside and out, pun intended, and we want to have, I think, athletes perform their best. If you're coming here, you're coming here to get better. If you're coming here, you're coming here to do your best. And I think what we try to do is give you inside information or tips or pointers or wisdom that we have that can help you apply it to be better. What do you guys think?
I think listening to what the coach, first step would just be listening to what the coach shares, the why, the strategy for the workout for that day. You're right. Some people
just here to work out,
want to come work out and be done. They don't want to think too deep into it. So don't think about it. Just take for what would you call that? Like, thus saith the Lord. What's that word? Like, take not for granted, but like concrete. Like what you say. Don't think about it. Whatever the coach says. Hey, this is the goal for today. This is what we're short. You don't have to think about that. Just take that and apply that day.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. And you know, understanding that, you know, we have every single person's best in mind whenever the workouts are written, you know, when they're programmed and scaled and all of that, you know, there is intentionality between in every single workout that we do, regardless of whether you come on Mondays and Wednesdays and Saturdays and that's your schedule, or if you come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever your workout schedule is, there's intentionality between every single workout that we have here. It's not just to come in and throw some barbells around and, we want to have a good time. We are the gym that finds you happy, but we want to see you get results. And, you know, just coming in and doing the workout, it's for time. When CrossFit first started, and you go look back at, you know, Greg Glassman describing how Fran was invented. You know, and here's this workout that made him puke. So, you know, he goes to his neighbor and says, hey, dude, you got to try this. You know, CrossFit, especially with the early adopters of CrossFit, that's not what CrossFit is really anymore. You know, the people that we have, the demographic that we have doing CrossFit now. You know, we want to see you get the best results. We want to see you get in shape. We want to see you healthy. And
I think we want to see people at their best.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, you know, listening, I like that, you know, and then you're making a choice to apply or not.
And then the people who are more aggressive in prepping for the workout, I can remember, this is why we have, you're able to see the workout at 8 o'clock. When we first started Inside Out, it was 12 o'clock at midnight. And I like that because that's kind of how I was raised in CrossFit world. But I would wake myself up at like 12:01. I could have gone to bed at 8 o'clock that night. I would wake myself up, look at Wattify, my wife sleeping right beside of me, and I'm reading the workout for Vitality, going, okay, my goal is I'm gonna do this. I mean, literally woke myself up out of sleep almost every night. And you know, now I'm like, okay, I'll do it at 8 o'clock. But the goal is not just so you can, you know, you get that, oh my gosh, that looks terrible, what's it going to be like? But get a game plan.
Yeah.
Start, if you know you're back squatting the next day, you know Mondays is going to be something heavy. And when you see, oh, it's back squats today, go on there, look at your performance, right? There's the knowledge. It's tracking it for you. Mm-hmm. Rightly applying Wattify would be, or tracking would be, all right, here's my percentages. You know, you've been here long enough. Here's my percentages. Here's my game plan. If we're doing a wave, 5-3-1, and then 5-3-1, go, my first five, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. My next, I'm going to do this. And then when I get back that wave, I'm going to bring it up. Instead, you know, and if you need help, that's what the coaches are there for. But I think of, like, yesterday I coached. It's been a little while. I coached the 5:30, 6:30. And Megan Wojak wasn't going to try to do rope climbs just because the burning and stuff. So she said, I have a goal to get pull-ups, to work on my pull-ups or my chin-ups strict, and I have a goal to do wall climbs, like to do them great.
Great.
And so there, she's got the knowledge how to do both, and all she needed is a little direction, right? An outside voice, wisdom to go, both of them are awesome, but because I've had a goal-setting session with her, and I knew she's been doing some like kipping pull-ups, I'm like, let's do the three strict and every round. And she did it.
That's awesome.
And it was amazing watching that.
Nice.
That's awesome about Megan, man.
Yeah. No, it was great to watch her just tackle that workout for that specific reason.
Right.
And she did great. And the other one was Chad. I mean, he came in with a little shoulder issue from 17.2 from the muscle ups. And, you know, it was like he knew enough, right, to go, I probably shouldn't do this or this or this. And so we just took and we said, hey, what's wisdom say? And we did that and
right. We
fixed it. So, I mean, in the training world, I think that's key. And I think that's why it's so important to be able to get through the fiction and find the facts and be able to have self-control and rightly apply that wisdom in your own day-to-day training without having an outside voice, but then with having that extra outside voice to go, hey, here's what I think should happen. This Absolutely. Is what needs to happen.
And there's a sense of humility in that, right? Like, you know, CrossFit is a humbling thing, and humility is a fantastic character trait to have. But to come in and to think that you have all the right answers, you know, and...
if you're the smartest person in the room, man, you're...
Dude,
I'm in trouble.
And what's beauty about, and there's beauty and grace in that, because I'm sure we've all been in that at some stage in our life, or maybe you're in that stage now where you just have to be that smartest person in the room. I mean, I know years ago, I mean, I had that pressure, I felt that pressure. There's sometimes that kind of like even comes back up in me. But having the humility to say, you know, I don't have all the right answers. I'm going to learn as much as I can, and then I'm going to try my best to apply that. Pause as we kill a mosquito.
Yeah, I bring in my plants here to dress up my office, and I get these huge mosquitoes. They came straight from...
Did you take a picture of the plants yet?
Another country. Did you get your malaria shot?
Oh, gosh. That's a mosquito hawk. I think they actually eat mosquitoes.
Yeah, so... And I would take that back to last year's Open. It was so much fun. But you took over Friday Night Lights, and... You know, I was not the smartest person in the room on that point. Obviously, we both had a, thanks to...
Get it.
Ah, got it. Thanks to, you know, the template of Friday Night Lights. I mean, I wish I could say I created that,
right.
But I did it through Two Brain Business, Chris Cooper. But applying the strategic aspect of running it, making it run perfectly smooth, the details, that is not my wheelhouse. And so it was, last year it was hard watching that, handing that over.
Sure.
You know, because I had the knowledge, just the wisdom and the time that it took to apply was just out of my scope during that time.
Sure.
And I wanted to... I think part of it is, you know, wanting to see you succeed in that, and you did fantastic. And then this year has been even better.
Dude, we have a team this year, and it's amazing. And neither one of them are in the room. I don't know if they listen to the podcast or not.
Oh,
I don't want to make a habit of talking about people when they're not in the room. But Brian and Alyssa both have really stepped up, and this year have I mean, there was magic happening between Brian and I with the judges table and all that. So, if you're a member here at the gym and you're listening to this, thank you for just being a part of our community. You make going to work fun. You make, you know, developing new ideas and running events like Friday Night Lights and the after parties and all of that. You make that special for us. So, thank you for giving us the opportunity to do that for you and for us, really.
Yeah. It's, we have such an amazing community.
And, absolutely.
You know, I think the worst part about this whole thing is when you get the emails that go, hey, I need to take a break, or hey, I've been hurt and I know I'm not going to see him for a couple weeks or maybe ever. You know, I take it so personally, not in like a, I'm upset sometimes, but to the point where it's like you really feel like you're losing,
sure,
you're losing a family member in that way, and so me learning how to do that. But yeah, we've got such a great place here that we've created. I'm loving it, and it is. It wouldn't be this if I didn't, number one, have the coaches that I have, and then number two, the clients that we have. I know we have the best clients, hands down. So that's been pretty awesome. But I know we're closing it up, but yesterday when we were talking about the topic, and we were just talking about you know, knowledge versus wisdom, you said, "Hey, I'm about to pull the recorder out," because we were really deep into it.
Yeah,
and it was really fun. And we were talking briefly about the danger of just living with knowledge. And I know you had some insight in that too. I know just in the sense of the danger of getting all the knowledge that you can. The internet's full of knowledge, or, you know, the magazines, and then not applying it.
Yeah.
And I kind of likened it to, you know, where I came from, the church, like, or where I'm at, obviously, the church world, you know, tithing is a huge thing, you know, and a lot of people, even despite popular opinion, like, that's not what churches talk about. You
right.
know, there are some that's all they talk about, but the places I've gone, very rarely, they don't even necessarily like talking about it. But they talk about it enough because they know it's going to benefit the person. We know if you give, you're going to be giving back. And then being a blessing to people, right? I likened it yesterday, we were talking, it's like, if you know that tithing is what you need to do, or giving, if you know that not stealing is what you need to do, but you don't apply it, I told you guys yesterday, it's almost like in that world of giving in the church, it's like when you hear that message or you hear someone talk about it, it's still in the head, it's not dropped to the heart, it's not become wisdom, meaning from the head to the heart, so you've not applied it. So when you hear someone talk about it, tithing, breathing, giving, treating your wife, you know, correctly, loving your kids, then you go, oh, you know what, so-and-so needs to hear that message, because it's in your mind still. So
right.
You think you're walking it out, but you're not walking it out. Hey, can you relate to that?
No, absolutely. And there's, you know, and again, both of us, you know, do come from, you know, being employed by the church and all that, and some sort of pastoral role. But yeah, there's several times in sermons, man, I'll hear something and I'm like, oh yeah, man, absolutely. Like, I wish they were here to hear that, because that's really that person's deal. Man, you know, whether it's, you know, anger or whatever it is, like, man, I know somebody who really struggles with that. Sorry, your kid's out the window. It's a random kid that showed up. So, you know, but having that humility to go, you know what, like, this is something I actually need to work on. So,
yeah.
You know, if you are listening to this podcast, I'm talking to you. You need to, you know, look inside your heart and say, okay, am I really applying the knowledge that
yeah.
I learned? And yesterday, and I know we'll close on this, yesterday you made a comment of, you know, how do you apply the wisdom, you know, immediately?
Yeah, so I told, you guys know I love podcasts. I love audiobooks. I love reading books. I just it's easier for me to listen because I'm always doing something. But I, my business mentor put out something about, I can't even remember what it's about, but it triggered something in my mind that said, okay, I have a goal. If I'm reading or listening to a book or listening to a podcast, I have to immediately apply something that I learned, and I have like a set time. So if that's 24 hours, 48 hours that week, it depends on the size of the task. But if I'm starting a new book, then I have to immediately apply what I learned, because there's so many books, great books and podcasts that I've listened to that go, that is amazing, that is amazing. I can come in here and tell you guys all of it, throw up on you, and it not be mine, and it not be something that I've applied. So it's really not mine.
Yeah.
And I'm not practicing it. So I get overload, and it's like your iPhone, it's just, or your Mac just spinning. And it needs to be reset. So for me, it's setting those parameters, because I love listening to stuff and learning new things, that it's really not learned until I've applied it. So until I know and I can give time to apply what I'm learning, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to read that.
And you can't teach it to others. And I think a lot of us, especially in our realm now, as coaches, as, you know, pastors, coaches, when we were studying something, oftentimes we would study it with the intention of teaching it, right?
Yeah.
Whether it was prepping a lesson or getting ready for a workout or, you know, whatever it is, preparing content for our blog. If it's not something that we are actively studying to apply into our own life, then it's useless for the consumer. It's useless Absolutely. For the person reading it or on the other end. So, and I think people can see when it's genuine. I think people can absolutely see when something is being studied just to be taught to someone else.
Well, we can talk about this being in the church world, and I'm definitely not bashing the church because I love the church. But anything,
sure.
you know when it's authentic,
right?
And you know when it's been studied to teach versus I've studied this to apply it to my life, and then out of that I'm going to teach.
Right.
And, you know, one of my favorite quotes of all times is by Bill Johnson. He says, "What feeds me feeds them." So he was a pastor, and so he had on his desk, it said, a little plaque that says, "What feeds me feeds them."
Sure.
Meaning, what I'm learning for myself and for my family, and he even took it as far as whatever he learned, his goal was to directly impact his children, you know, for that specific thing. And then out of that, he would teach it to his congregation or whoever was in,
sure.
in front of him. So, and I took that when I was in the church world for sure. Like, if I would not study to try to teach, I would feel myself going that way.
Sure.
And I'm like, no, I can't do this. So I would, and it forces you to be a novice and to constantly be learning to apply.
Right. And that's what's so great about me in the CrossFit realm too, as coaches. I mean, we jump into group classes all the time to learn and to get our, you know, fitness on as well. But I think it's kind of cool to be a part of the community. You're doing the exact same workout that everyone else is. It's what's great about the open, right? We get to feel like we're on the same leaderboard as the fittest in the world. You know, granted, there are thousands of digits between us.
I normally take what they do and times it by two.
That's it. You know, count every rep by fives. But the thing is, like, there's this sense of ownership with it. So I guess to wrap all this up, and you're looking to apply, you know, apply the knowledge and gather wisdom, whether it's in your training, whether it's in your life, you know, a couple of things on this. Make sure that you're doing it to better yourself with the intention of helping others. And so, you know, of course we want to help others, but it's not just for this manipulation sake.
Yeah.
You know, we're not trying to just sell something. You know, we want to genuinely help someone else.
That's such a, I feel like this could go for 2 hours.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
You saying that though, I've watched people teach the air squat.
Yeah.
There is something about knowing that I have to learn. I'm learning something too. I know we talked about what feeds me feeds them, but learning something, knowing that I have to teach it again.
Yeah.
Applying something, knowing that I'm going to be teaching it soon. You know, watching people teach the air squat. So learning, getting the knowledge, properly applying it because I'm going to have to teach it. It's such a good way. So I know you're wrapping it up, but I think that's a great challenge is take a week, take 2 weeks, rightly apply the knowledge that you're learning with wisdom, and then give it away. Help first. Teach somebody to squat. Teach somebody how to breathe. Teach somebody how to pick something up. Teach somebody how to do a Facebook ad.
Awesome. Yeah.
Sweet. Do you want to do a fist bump hand?
No. If anybody saw the YouTube video that Nick put out the other day.
I haven't put it out.
Yeah, I'll put it out. All right, good. Which is awkward fist bump handshake thing. That's completely reminiscent of my life. We'll wrap it up. Your challenge this week, if you're listening to this, is try to apply something from our rambling. Teach someone else how to apply wisdom and, you know, write it down. Write whatever it is that you're going to do from this podcast and apply it to your daily life this week.
Don't forget to subscribe and like this podcast. And I want you to share it with your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, and your dog. No cats, your dog. And listen, if you listen to this podcast, share it and tag us in it so we know that you listen to it. How's that? That's a good challenge.
That's perfect.
And then tell us in that tag what you're applying, what wisdom you're applying. There you go. That's your challenge.
Let's get after it. No, it's awesome.
Yeah.
There's just going to be music playing. So I think that's
awesome. No barbells dropping.
Well, I mean, you can go yelling.
Cool. All right.